Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Hey, I've been getting that right all morning. 18 coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. You're on the air. First on the air of 2022. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble. Don't forget, Glenn will be on with me for the next two solid hours. Then on with Dr. Ron Feynman from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. The holidays are over, 2022 is underway, and here we are, Glenn.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm on all day today, is that right?
You got a good three-hour run today here on the station.
I was looking forward to coming in today for the first of the year.
Well, as I told you this morning, it wasn't that I was not looking forward about coming in today. It was that it's just been so cold in the morning, yeah. And it's dark when you wake up. And when you're in bed, you know, you're under the covers, it's nice and warm, it's still dark outside, and there's nothing really going on in January. It's not, you know, when you get up in December, when it's dark and cold in the morning.
You got things to plan for.
Well, you do. You know, Christmas is coming. You got the party tonight. You got to go to get this present after work. You got to get the wrapping paper. And even though that stuff sometimes is a drag, it's still on your mind. You've got stuff to do. January, it's just, you get up.
Well, the good thing about January is, as of December 21st, the days are getting longer.
The days are getting longer.
It was 9 hours and 26 minutes today.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did want to talk about, because we spent some time on it this morning, was Betty White's passing.
Yeah.
And the coverage that this has gotten. You know, when she died on New Year's Eve, people broke into newscasts as if a president had died. I don't know that I'd ever seen that for an actor, and if I had, it had been a long time.
She was one of those people that I don't think I knew anybody that ever said, oh, I hate watching her. Everybody loved to watch her. She was like an older sister that she knew all the answers. She was always very humorous. I like the fact that she said, I think she said her favorite drink was milk and vodka or something like that.
Vodka, yeah. She liked her vodka.
And people like a person that's level-headed and down-to-earth like she was. Plus, she was very funny. And she was a beautiful young woman. Not that she was an ugly old woman, but she was a very beautiful young woman.
Well, I think she also became, after that SNL appearance a few years ago.
Oh, that was good.
At 88, she became the poster child for working on and on and on. And I think because of that, people never thought she was going to leave.
Yeah.
Because she was always in front of their face in some way or another. And it was, I think, in a way, shocking. And also, a little shocking that it was 18 days before her 100th birthday.
Well, how many times had you interviewed her?
I interviewed her really a lot.
I thought you had.
Yeah. When I first started in radio, she was on quite a bit. And
it says a lot for her. I mean, that she would give a little, and I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, here we go.
A little announcer on a little station.
Little announcer. Yeah, give me all that time. No, she was always very accommodatable, and she had a very good office. One of the things I remember about Betty White is she had a lady who worked in her office. I don't know what happened to this woman, but her name was Donna Ellerbush. Still remember her name. And Donna was not an agent or a manager. I think she was just her assistant. And you would call Donna, and Donna would pretty well set up the interviews, but Donna was also the one who did the autographs and the biographies and all that sort of thing.
You mean she signed Betty White's?
No. She gave them to Betty to sign and mailed them out. But this woman, boy, she was really on the ball. I don't remember ever dealing with a well-known person. Maybe other than Phyllis Diller had a lady who worked in her office named Carla, who kind of did the same thing.
I think there are a lot of older stars that had personal assistants that were just old friends of the family, or, you know, been with them a long time, and those are the ones you trust the most, so you give them the most responsibility.
Well, and I think also with Betty White, as she got older, to keep her in the public eye, they gave her different roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did the Snickers Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, I love that commercial.
Yeah,
that's my favorite Super Bowl commercial of all time.
Yeah, which I mean, you would never guess Betty White saying those things and
I'd like to know who the stand-in was because they
got tackled. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, but there was a line in there that you wouldn't even think Betty White would say, something about, you know, you're playing like Betty White out there. And Betty White says, that's not what your girlfriend says.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
not a Betty White line.
No, it's almost as bad as your mama said.
Yeah, yeah. But she did stuff like that. And then she did The Proposal, where she played kind of a raunchy old grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then SNL, which is not an old person show.
No, absolutely.
She was the host. So I think she had this thing with young people that
was honest. I really believe that she was... Did you ever sense that she was trying to pull your leg when you interviewed
her? No. She was always very, very hospitable.
Yeah.
But I think that came from being in the business, I think, since the beginning mm-hmm. of television. You know, she had seen it all.
Yeah.
And I think she was always grateful that people still wanted her to do things. Mm-hmm. I don't think she ever looked at it as a burden.
Right. Now, have you heard what she died of?
Well, her manager, I had him on this morning, or her agent, I guess I should say, was on this morning and said that she just died in her sleep, and there was really no indication that that was going to happen. Now, he did say that, you know, her being out of the public eye in the last 2 years, that she really was not doing interviews anymore. She was not doing... She pretty much retired mm-hmm. and was okay with that. Her mind was still there, but... because of being that age, that she did have nurses and she did have...
Trying to stay away from COVID, probably.
Well, but I just think you get to a certain point, and I'm sure she was not as spry as she once was.
99, how do you be spry?
Yeah, right, 99. Right. But I think it was hard for people, her fans, to accept that she was no longer spry.
Well, but you kept seeing her on TV anyway because the reruns of
the reruns.
Girls and the reruns of some of those, that Snickers ad ran several times in the past couple of years. It was hard not to love her.
It really was, and the funny thing about Betty White was that, as I said, and I people take this as a knock, and I loved Betty White, but Betty White never really... headlined anything that was a success. She was always just part of the cast.
Supporting role.
She was a supporter.
Yeah, yeah. And,
but she was a great supporter. Yeah. You couldn't have anybody better in your cast than
and
Betty White.
And she made the lead actor or actress, she made them what they were quite often.
Well, she did because, you know, you want funny people in your show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having Betty White in your show was certainly not something that was bad for you.
It's like what my position was in the folk trio. Bob had a beautiful voice, Joe had a beautiful voice, and my voice stunk. But I was a good supporting role because I was the better pitch person. I kept the pitch constantly. And she kind of kept the pitch of whatever she was doing humorous and kept it light and airy. You didn't start to go, well, some of the humor anymore is just... boring, childish stuff.
You know, I heard her do an interview once that I thought was kind of fascinating, and maybe it's just played in the last few days. I'm sure it's an old interview, but I'd never heard this before. And she said, you know, if Sue Ann Nivens on Mary Tyler Moore had been the first role that I had done, which was that was probably her first big hit, was Sue Ann Nivens.
Really?
I would say. I mean, people knew her because she had been on game shows and she had done Life with Elizabeth and stuff like that. But she had never really been a part of a big hit.
Life with Elizabeth didn't last too long.
No, no. Yeah. That's why I say it. So people knew who Betty White was.
Yeah.
But that was really the...
She was Mary Dowland Ludden.
Mary Dowland Ludden. So she said if Sue Ann Nivens had been my first role for the rest of my life, that's what I would have been. Sue Ann, they would have always wanted to cast me like that. They would have thought of me like that. She said the great thing about starting out in early television and people knowing who Betty White was on the game shows and Life with Elizabeth, this sickeningly sweet character in the early days of television, was that they just said, oh, there's Betty having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that's what she thought gave her longevity.
Oh, yeah.
Is because no matter what Betty was doing, she was never typecast.
She always acted like she was having fun, even when she was supposed to be in a serious role. She was not uncomfortable She was always comfortable for the audience, I believe.
Well, there's a great line that her agent told me off the air, and it's
I
not.
I wish I had heard it.
I can tell you. He told me this off the air, okay. So it's the first time I've told it. But it's a great story. Apparently, when she did the proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, the movie. Now she's late 80s at this point.
Yeah.
And she had done her work on the set, but, you know, the movie wasn't done. She was a small part in the movie. She was just the grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she said everybody loved Betty White, and the day that she had done her last scene, the whole cast and all the big crew there on the movie had all gathered around to see her off, and she was getting ready to leave, and she's going out the door, and they gave her a standing ovation. So she turns around, and she says, "This is the most fun I've ever had." And they said right before she walked out, she said, "Standing up." And then she just took off out the room.
I love it.
And they said, boy.
She had a lot of one-liners.
She had a lot of one-liners like that.
Yeah.
You know, and people used to ask her, and it was hilarious. They'd say, "Is there anything in your career you haven't done that you still want to do?" And she'd go, "Robert Redford." Funny lady.
What a nice lady, yeah. I'm sorry we lost her, and like I tweeted, I think you or message you, she will always be a great lady, and we'll always remember her that way.
Absolutely. And the only other thing I want to say on the Betty White note is it is interesting, though, that because she did live so long, people have kind of forgotten who the stars were of these shows. You know, nobody remembers that Mary Tyler Moore was the star of the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Well, I remember that because of the name.
and that Bea Arthur had top billing in Golden Girls. And
yeah, that's right, she did.
Yeah. Well, she was coming off Maude, which she was the star and a big hit.
Without Betty White, that show would have been boring to me.
What's that, Golden Girls?
Yeah. I didn't like Bea Arthur's role. I didn't like the premise, but Betty White kept it humorous and kind of kept it a little lighter, I think.
You know, I don't know. I think that there's I was talking about that as we were ending the last hour. Why is Golden Girls still a hit?
It's still on reruns.
Still on reruns. People are still selling shirts. They're still selling mugs.
Quite frankly,
I don't know. You know, a lot of people loved Estelle Getty in that show. She had never been in anything else. She was this tiny little woman.
She was funny.
She was very funny.
It was a funny role.
It was.
Yeah.
But I also think, even if, you know, as you say, you didn't care for Bea Arthur, that role, the contrast between her mother being this tiny little woman and Bea Arthur being, you know, almost 6 foot tall, mm-hmm. and deep voice, I think that contrast was very funny to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I think there were just a lot of comedic things. Not to mention the fact that all four of those actresses were well-established and knew what they were doing when they came to that show.
Well, I don't want to imply that I didn't like Bea Arthur. I just thought that Betty White held that show together, even though she had a limited role. I mean, she was Bea Arthur really had the most lines in that role.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely certain of that. And Betty White probably had the least number of lines, but her lines were always Betty White.
Well, it is interesting, though, that Bea Arthur did decide to leave the show after 7 years, and they tried to continue with another show, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it took all of them to make that show, make it interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And another death was John Madden. I think we talked about that last week, but he was such a big name in the sports world.
Yeah.
And I think people aren't going to forget him anytime soon.
Can't. It's on all those games that he had his name on.
Well, you know what? It's an interesting question. Is longevity really important to your success, or is it what you do? Because I think about this a lot, because you look at like somebody like Betty White or John Madden. Yeah, they were around a long time, but those moments that we remember are very isolated periods of time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've thought about this a lot. As you get older, you think about your final days. I know that sounds morbid, but you do. And I don't care what, and I doubt that anybody cares what their legacy is after they're in the grave.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But you know what? Does anybody think about that when they're alive?
Oh, yeah. I think there are people that really want to leave a big legacy. You know, almost every president wants to leave some sort of positive legacy. Yeah, I think there are people that care about that. And I want to leave a legacy for my children. I don't give a rat's behind what you think about me after I'm gone. But
but what is the legacy? That's the interesting thing. When we talk about legacy, I don't know what it is. I think once you carve it out, you can keep doing it for a long period of time, but does it really change? If you do something for 20 years or you do it for 60 years, if you're doing the same thing, does it really change what you've done?
No, I don't think it does. You know, one of our greatest friends of this radio station was Charlie.
Oh, absolutely.
And Charlie left a legacy that we all cherish. But Charlie doesn't care right now.
Well, no, and I don't think his was based in longevity, although he had longevity on
radio
the air.
Radio longevity, not right. The station longevity.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't think people say, wow, Charlie, he was on for a long time. What I always would hear was, he did school closings and delays, he was the voice we listened to, you know, that sort of thing. Lady Justice, you know, isolated moments in time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was the fact that you're on a long time. I think it's the fact what you do
what
with
you
that
did.
Time.
Yeah. If you did nothing,
you could be on for 100 years. It wouldn't really matter if you did nothing.
I'm trying to think if there's an example of that. There probably is, but I can't think of one real quickly.
Probably many examples
yeah,
of that.
I'm sure of that.
You know, but you got to get in the ball game at some point.
I'm sure that's what my legacy will be. He did nothing.
Well, you know, and it's also important to never give up, because I think about that right now in the midst of this pandemic, because we're just hearing bad news every single day, locally, nationally. It's just scary, bad news, and people are dying, and it's horribly unfortunate, but the point is, when you're awake that morning, if you're alive, do the best you can.
Yeah.
Make the best decisions you can, have the best day you can, and worry about tomorrow.
That's one of the things I worry about, end of life. I hope I go like Betty White apparently went. I hope I go to sleep and don't wake up. And I think that's everybody's wish. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of what's going to cause me to die. You know, I don't want to linger on for 5 years with some cancer that's enormously painful and stuff like that. So I hope it goes fast. That's kind of why I lean towards saying let people take their own lives if they're getting to that point. I understand why you shouldn't, but what was his name?
Kevorkian?
I was sympathetic with his situation. I think he was trying to do the right thing for those people. If you bring religion into it, I suppose, and also law, it's against the law to take somebody else's life or even help them take their own life. I think he was trying to do the best he could for those people.
See, I think it's attitude, though, because I look at people like Michael J. Fox, for example.
Oh, what a great
20,
example.
What is it, 22 years now with Parkinson's disease, and nobody wants that.
No.
And it is a disease.
For sure.
Right. And it is a disease that I think has obviously shortened up his lifespan and shortened up what he's able to do work-wise, but I think because he's always had a positive attitude about how he approached it, it's okay. It's okay. Muhammad Ali, how long did he live with that?
A long time.
What about...
One of the most famous things Muhammad Ali did was the Olympics, when he was shaking and everything else.
Oh, with the torch.
Yeah, with the torch. But I'm sure he was so terribly proud of that moment.
Right, and if he had died before that, never would have got to do it.
That's right.
So I don't know. I'm back and forth on that. I mean, yeah, it's not fun to have any disease, but you know what? It's what you make of the time. It's what you make of while you're doing it.
It also depends on the disease. There are some diseases like Parkinson that you can deal with. It may be horrible, but you can deal with it. But there are other diseases that take your brain away, take your... There are people, I know people have lived for... Well, my mother-in-law lived for at least 5 years, and hardly knew people around her. Maybe the last 3 years of her life. I think if I were her, I would have preferred to go.
But she probably didn't know.
No, I
that
don't
she
think
was
she
that way.
Know.
So that's a saving grace.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So
and my wife would never have told them to pull the plug, of course.
Yeah, well, and that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's a little selfish, too, if you think about it. Not pulling the plug on a loved one because you don't want them to go. If they're in terrible pain, I bet they want to go.
Well, I don't... Is anybody in real terrible pain anymore? If you know...
Yeah, with all the
with all the great
all
drugs and things that people are able to do, I don't see a lot of suffering anymore, thank goodness. I couldn't tell you the last time, and I've known some people with horrible life-ending diseases. They know when they're in pain, and they treat that very well.
My brother... he called me the day before he died, and I could tell he was going fast, but he wanted to call and tell me he loved me, and I couldn't tell from him that he was dying. I could tell from his wife, who said, "John wants to talk to you a little bit," and the way she said it, I knew that she knew something bad was going to happen soon, and he died the next day, and I guess he died peacefully.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
See? And it's that. I think. I don't know. It's a complex subject that everybody has to go through.
Yeah.
And I think at some point... But you know, the thing is, nobody thinks they're going to get it. And I often think, let's say...
We're all gonna die.
Well, it's funny because... Not funny, maybe that's not the right word, but it's ironic that, let's say tomorrow, you got diagnosed with a catastrophic illness. And... You would, of course, be horribly depressed. Your family would be horribly depressed. You go, "Oh my gosh, this is the worst possible thing." But you know what? You would get up the next morning, and the next morning you got up, you would learn of about 10 people who died the day before, who maybe didn't even know they were sick. So it's all a crapshoot in the end.
I haven't told anybody this, including my wife. Fortunately, she's in North Carolina right now. But my doctor has asked me to come and have an appointment with a specialist because of a certain number in my blood thing that is going up, and it's not a good number. And it could mean the end of my life, but I hope not, but I'm going to find out in a few weeks. I'm trying to deal with that in the most positive way that I can. The worst problem will be, who's going to take my show?
Oh, that is the worst problem. What am I going to do, Glenn?
Dr. Feynman won't know what to do.
Yeah, if you come in here, Glenn, and say, "Gosh, I got a catastrophic illness," I'm going to think, well, who's going to fill the time?
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Oh, no, that's very honest.
Well,
you know?
It's scary.
Oh, it is scary. Yeah. It is scary.
And
you have to wait. Isn't that the worst, that you got to wait?
I didn't think I was going to tell anybody about this, but
well, there you go.
I was kind of glad I did.
Yeah, why not? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, what
you know,
the heck?
Go down the road.
And there's nothing I can do about it. I will fight it as much as I can with whatever they tell me to do, and it could be absolutely nothing. So,
right, and I don't want to pry into this, whatever it is, but the specialist, is this something where they're going to take a sampling or
they may do a biopsy? I don't know. I'm scared of that. I'm going to a urologist, so that generally tells you the area that
the area that it's in.
The worst part about it is not that I'm going to a urologist. My urologist is a woman.
Oh, well, there you go.
There are no men urologists in the area. And I was thinking about last night, what am I going to tell her? Because I always try to think of something to lighten the mood. What am I going to tell her when I first meet her? Well, I'm going to tell her she's the very first woman that ever did anything medically on me, and I'm a little nervous. The last woman that did anything was about a 22-year-old lifeguard that brought me back to life, and that was a long time ago.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you got to have those icebreakers when you go in.
I hope she smiles when I tell her that.
43 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, honestly, I think, I know. Does it make any sense at all? But Okay. It's just the way it goes.
We'll leave that.
We're not even going to comment on that. 740-383-9944. But you know what? This show today is very much what I always envisioned this show would be. Just two people having a conversation.
So I screwed up in all the previous 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, it's been a mess. But today, I mean, that's what I hope. I never wanted this to be like the Friday show, the current events. I didn't want us to come in and what happened in the news today.
I do that on the progressive.
Right. I wanted to come in and say, you know, let's talk about life things. Let's talk about, oh, this happened in the news. But be it because we want to talk about it, not because it's the biggest news story
of
the day.
Yeah, it gets old.
Yeah, well, it does. And I just...
Didn't you tell me you don't even listen to news very much anymore?
I really don't. Yeah. The last 2 years, I have been very... devoid, and people will notice in the number of newsy guests that I have on anymore, because it seemed like for about 4 or 5 years, everything was a fire, and you had to cover it, and every turn and twist, and, you know, boy, it got so tiring, and I like now that it doesn't have to be that way every day. Some days we can just play Family Feud. Some days we can talk about people who have left us, like Betty White. Some days we can just bring Shecky Green on and have a laugh. You know, that sort of thing.
Do you think the change of presidents has anything to do with that?
You know, I would like to... It would be interesting to cite that, but I don't want to cite that because... well, for two reasons.
You don't want to sound negative about it, I'm sure.
Well, I don't want to sound negative, but the other thing is... And I don't think this is a negative, so I wouldn't... I hope people don't take this as a negative. Again, however you feel about President Trump, he was entertaining. You know, and when you have an entertaining president, there's more to cover. You know, I remember... I remember when he would get in fights with reporters, and that would be something you'd cover on this station.
Yeah.
You know, Nancy Pelosi tears up her paper. Well, that's not exactly the end of the world. That's not exactly going to change the policy of the United States, but boy, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's out of the... So you cover it. So there was an entertaining presidency going on there.
Well, he was... a showman. What his life was about.
And we're not really having that right now. It's not really an entertaining...
No, Biden isn't somebody I tune in to get a good yuck.
No, it's... and you're not going to see those fights. You're not going to see that... what do they call that?
Well, they're having fights right now within the Democratic Party.
But it's not in public.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
It's not in press conferences.
It's more...
It's not that tat-tat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I hasten, though, to blame that all on Trump, though, because, you know, when he and Hillary were running against each other, and at the end of Obama's presidency, there was a lot of showmanship going on Hillary's behalf and Obama's behalf. I mean, I remember when it still runs on the top of the hour, when Obama wanted to change the face on the $20 bill, and...
never did it?
No, it never did happen.
Was that going to be...
In 2020 was supposed to be the year.
And wasn't the front runner, not Sacagawea?
No, who was it? It was... it runs every hour here on the station. How can we forget that? And it's going to be...
She was African-American.
Yes, woman. Yes. Charlie didn't much care for her. But what was her name? Because of the way she looked.
Who was
the lady? It plays every hour. Glenn and I both are getting illnesses here today.
Senile here.
740-383-9944. I want to say Harriet Beecher Stowe, and
no,
that's
that
not right.
No.
isn't that awful? Isn't that
let's
awful?
Let's see if I can find it here on...
My gosh. Whose face did they want to put on the $20 bill? 740-383-9944. I remember us saying, and Eleanor Roosevelt, and he said he didn't want her... her mug on the $20
bill. She was a real handsome woman, but...
No.
You don't have to be handsome to be on there.
I think he wanted Marilyn Monroe on the $20
Charlie?
Bill. Yeah. I think that was his choice on the $20
you
bill.
You know, I got to sit down on Marilyn Monroe's deathbed long after she was passed away.
But she died in her 30s, didn't
yeah.
she? Very young.
And I was with... DePaul University and our basketball team played UCLA, and the man that owned the bungalow where she lived was a big donor to UCLA, I think probably illegally so, but anyway, he took several of us administrators out to her bungalow and let us see where she passed away.
Many people had been to her bungalow
it was
over the years.
Yeah.
Man, the Kennedys knew it by heart. They knew right where her bungalow was.
As a matter of fact, we looked under the bed to see if there wasn't a Kennedy.
Kennedy's still in there, yeah. The Kennedys knew the way. They didn't need any breadcrumbs to get there.
Yeah, and I don't know much about that, and he didn't really say much about that. But
isn't that terrible? I cannot remember that woman's name. And I don't...
I'm looking at
who did
right
they
now
want to put on the $20 bill? Is everybody forgotten just like
yes,
us?
We have.
Yeah, we've all forgotten it. 740-383-9944. Who did they want to put on the $20 bill?
Do you want to really know?
Yeah, give it to me. Oh, yeah, that's
Tubman.
Tubman.
Yes.
Yes, Tubman.
And that's not a bad, that picture I'm showing you, that wouldn't look bad on a $20 bill.
No, not bad. No. But I think people don't like change in their money.
No. They don't want change. No, they want folding stuff.
They want it the way it is. And
I liked it when it got more colorful.
The money?
Yeah.
Bigger?
No, and they added color to it. Yeah, there were gold and green they added to it. When I was a kid, money on one side was green, and on the other side it was kind of greenish-gray. And there was no real color. And now you look at a $50 bill and there's some color. I wish they'd go back to having $500 bills. They don't. The largest denomination is a $100 bill. And that makes it a little tough if you're going to buy an RV with cash.
Do you like the big faces?
I do like the big faces, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were against that in the beginning, but I think everybody's okay with it now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with Tubman. I think people just don't like change.
Yeah, yeah, probably true. Who is on the $20 bill?
Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to get rid of
that. I know.
There.
What do we got? Washington on the one. We got Lincoln on the five. Right. We got Franklin on the 10. No, Franklin's not on the 10, is it? No, Franklin's on the... Boy, it's been so long since I've seen a 10. Isn't
that
awful?
I haven't seen any 10.
20. We got Jackson on the 20. We got Grant on the 50.
I don't have a 10.
I think Franklin... Yeah, but Franklin's on the $100 bill, isn't he?
That sounds right.
I think that's right. Who's on the $10 bill?
I'm going to find out for you.
Yeah, isn't that awful? Boy, oh boy.
But I don't have any 10s.
You see $10 bills all the time, and you never pay attention to them.
My wife won't let me have any above a dollar, so...
This is a very hazy minded morning.
Yes, it is.
Does anybody know who's on the $10 whip bill? Whip
That'd
out a 10 and let us know who it is. 740-383-9944.
I'm going to have it real soon before anybody calls, I think.
Especially since we're on the delay.
Yeah, that's right. I'll let you decide whether you want to tell
us. Oh, yeah, we'll see that. Not a president.
No, that's right.
Yeah, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Hamilton. And is he the only one who's not a president? I think so. Jackson, Lincoln, Washington, Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Harrison wasn't.
He wasn't?
Or Franklin. Ben Franklin was not.
Ben Franklin was not.
Yeah, but Ben Franklin's not on any money, is he? Oh, man.
I don't know.
This is bad.
I'm not going to look that one up.
No, whatever. Whoever's on the money. But, yeah, Hamilton is... Hamilton's an interesting figure in the history of the United States.
You know, I
a little
until,
divisive.
Until I had this my show on this station, and I met people like Dr. Feynman and Fred, who knows everything about Fred Malone, I'm sorry. He knows, it seems like, everything about every president. I have really learned a lot. Now, I have one of those minds like a steel trap with a giant hole in the bottom of it. Everything sort of falls out after I trap it.
Now, presidents used to interest me. When I was in elementary school and even really into high school and college, I would do reports on presidents because I found their lives interesting. I especially found 20th century presidents interesting. Much more than your Lincolns or your Washingtons, because we had footage of these people, we had diaries of these people, we had audio, just better records were kept, and these 20th century people fascinated me to a large degree. And they still do. I think that's why we've had the discussion before about, you know, the greatest presidents of the 20th century, and there's a lot of, you know, disagreement in that, because I just think we as a world have become much more focused in on the presidents in the last 20 years. I don't think in the 90s people really spent all that much time worrying who or what was going on with the president. So they've kind of been forgotten. Whether they did a good or bad job, they're just a footnote of history.
Well, they didn't know Dr. Feinman.
Right. But, you know, it's also, they could have been awful people. We really don't know.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of them were awful people.
Who we think are great.
Yeah. Well, things that go on in the background of rising to power quite often are kind of ugly.
Well, we talked a lot about Jimmy Carter last week, and I still, as far as a president, most people would not regard him as a great president. I don't think he rates very well on those lists. I think he...
Dr. Feinman does.
Does he like Jimmy Carter?
He likes Jimmy Carter a lot.
Well, Jimmy Carter as a person, I think, is good.
Yeah. I think that's why I like him, because as a person, he was a good man. And I always thought that we should have a good... Being an atheist, I always thought we should have a good Christian president.
Well, I just always felt that Jimmy Carter did not know how Washington worked, and he didn't understand certain things about it.
I agree with that.
You want a president to understand.
Well, I don't want a president to understand that stuff. I'm glad he didn't know that stuff.
Yeah, but look what happened under Carter. Well, we saw gas lines. We saw... just things, his inability to delegate.
That had so little to do with his presidency, though.
Well, but as soon as it was over, Reagan came in with a lot of people and delegated a lot of things and said, let's borrow money. And
there were still gas lines when Reagan was there. I remember the gas lines when Reagan came in.
But when Reagan left...
He did things.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of the cycle of being a president. If you get in at the wrong time, you're not going to have good things said about you, I think.
Well, the Iranian hostage crisis, I don't think that was handled the best.
I think it was handled very poorly.
Yeah.
But I think it was handled very poorly by the following president, Reagan, rather than Carter. Now, Carter didn't handle it well, but I think that he was kind of backsided on that, I believe.
Well, it ended.
It ended because of some behind-the-scenes crap that was going on by a future president.
Well, that's interesting to a certain degree, though, is... If you get all the hostages back and you get them all alive and you get them back unharmed, and the last guy couldn't even get negotiations going, did it really end up being that horrible?
And do we know that he didn't get negotiations going?
Well, certainly not good enough.
Not out in public, he didn't.
Right.
But now
it was my understanding they did not really like Jimmy Carter. Hence, the moment he's no longer in office, they release the hostages.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They put him on the plane that moment.
Yeah, I think they knew they were going to get something from Reagan, and they did. I think they didn't like Jimmy Carter because he was kind of tough on him. But also, I got an opportunity to meet one of the hostages, and now I can't remember his name to save my soul, but he was a professor down at OU when I was down there, and we talked a bit about it, and he liked President Carter, so I don't know.
I think Carter tried his best. There were just some things about him that I think were not...
Well, he's too good a Christian.
Well, was that it? I always thought it was because he was an engineer and he could not delegate well. You know, he brought all his people in from Georgia. You know, and I think you got to have some people who know Washington in your office to navigate it.
I don't know if he did or did not know any, you know, have people that knew that. Like I told you at the beginning of this, I have not been a presidential scholar. I don't really follow the presidents, but I am following James Buchanan, however, because Fred Malone asked me if I'd be interested in being James Buchanan at the dinner with the presidents type thing.
Now, isn't he the one?
Yes, he is the one.
Yeah, he is the one.
Yeah, if you type in gay president... His name will come up.
All I had to do was move two fingers back and forth, and you knew exactly what I was talking about.
I mean, nobody knows for sure. He was, I believe, married. I think he was married. And definitely had a girlfriend, if not married.
Nobody knows for sure.
But nobody seems to
he
know
and Cary her. Grant. Nobody knows for sure.
Well, they eventually knew about Cary.
Do they? If well, you I see books written now, they will never say it definitively.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he never admitted it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, back then, that was really a taboo, especially if you were a movie star, because you had to make all the girls croon. Is that the right word?
Swoon.
Swoon.
Swoon. croon. They didn't have to sing. Buchanan is the one who may have been, they say it about some other ones, but...
He was the only president that was not married in the White House.
Is that why people think he was a gay president?
I think that's partially why, yeah. I don't think anybody caught him in a bathroom with a guy.
Yeah, but didn't some other presidents come in unmarried and get married while they were?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what? Why does this guy get a rep?
Because he never got married, ever.
Well, maybe he was busy. Yeah. He was president.
And quite frankly, I don't care.
No, I mean, I don't really care if he was or wasn't. But
person,
why?
That's all I
why,
care.
Why is that a thing?
It is, and I'm glad to see it. It is becoming less and less a problem.
Not with James Buchanan. When you said his name, the only thing I knew was that people thought that he might be...
Well, that little thing with your fingers, flip-flopping thing.
Yeah, well, it was just two fingers moving back and forth. I didn't make any gestures or anything. It was just more that there was some confusion when it came to old James Buchanan.
Yeah, there was, apparently. And I don't know why Fred Malone wants me to be his...
Isn't that a good one to be?
I've been married 52 years.
Well, hey, you know what?
Have three children.
Sometimes you slide into those sort of roles.
Yeah.
People always question.
I would kind of like to do it, but I'm not sure I want to put the effort into learning all about him. Because
you know,
those people...
They know their stuff.
Yeah, you and I were at the dinner this year, and I was stunned at how well they know their stuff about those presidents.
Oh, absolutely.
And I sat next to the first lady of Marion, and she knew
Florence.
She knew everything about that family.
And Jan Augenstein gave a great speech that night.
Yeah.
She did very, very
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. When you said Jan Augenstein.
Florence Harding.
Who the heck was that?
Florence Harding. All right, we're going to step out for 15 minutes, come back with another hour of this. Don't you dare go away.
Over a few radio stations, I've been doing this for 17 years, and boy, I'll tell you, it never gets old.
No, it never gets old, and it's always interesting if you are smart and if you keep up on the topics that people are interested in. And